I still feel insufficient to be able to try to talk about, teach the book of Lamentation. I see several things in here as I study over and read about what had transpired and taken place, and how Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, has great heaviness and lamentation concerning the condition of his people and what had transpired and taken place, and how they had suffered, and some, of course, died quickly. Comment about that, how it was better off for those to die in battle than for those just to pine away in starvation. And read about also in here where some of the women, he talked about them eating their own children. And you can read that in chapter 4, I believe it is verse number 10, if I'm not mistaken. The point that he talked about even them considering eating those that looked like it had to be a miscarriage at a span 9 inches long, taking them out and eating the fruit of their body. And then it confirms it in chapter number 10, verse number 10, the hands of the pitiful women have sodded their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. It was such a great famine. I remember that they besieged the city, laid siege there round about it. Nebuchadnezzar's army came down for a final time, so far as the hand of destruction fell upon Jerusalem and Judah itself. They besieged the city, and of course they was surrounded by over a year's time. And finally they broke it up. During that time, starvation had and famine came in the land. Some of them had resorted to the women of eating their own children. That's cannibals. They turned into cannibals and eating their own flesh. And they brought these things upon their own self because of a stiff neck and a hard heart and rebellious heart and a rebellious will. God had to finally turn his face away from them and quit the foot shining upon them and turn his back, so to speak, away from them and permitted these things to happen to them because of their rebellious ways. So sin reproaches any people, it's righteousness that exalts a nation. So Jeremiah here, he went through this himself. He also gives a testimony of what he felt like that was happening to him in his own life. You can start in verse chapter number 3 that pertains to Jeremiah. He talks about, I'm a man that has seen affliction and robbed his rest. He goes through several things that he said that had transpired and taken place to him and concerning him during the time of his affliction. He was him also a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief and smitten and stricken of God. Not talking about Jesus, that was Jesus, but he himself was had a taste of that type of rejection and suffering and shame and sorrow, affliction. They imprisoned him, they beat him, done everything they could to try to stop him and shut him up, but the hand of God was upon him. So through these things he suffered also quite a bit. You can read in that and hope that you will. These are things in comparison to what he felt like was going on in his life happened unto him. And then he reminded himself, if you look in the conclusion of the chapter, he spoke about that in verse number 22 when he recalled the mind. He said, this is how we call my mind, therefore I have a hope. It is the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. He said, if it weren't for his mercy, we would be consumed, but that's the only reason we're not completely consumed. They're new every morning. Great is our faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, that seek it, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. He goes on to speak about the Lord, how good he is, his grace, his goodness, and about God, of course, being in charge of everything and all things. And he talks about his eye. We talked to you about that a little bit last week, about his eye trickling down and ceasing not without intermission, because of all the things would happen to the daughters of his people, destruction. His heart was affected by what his eye saw. My eye affected my heart, verse 51, because of the daughter of my city. My enemies chased me so like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Water flowed over my head. Then I said, I am cut off. I call upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. I have not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the cause of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imagination against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, all their imagination against me. The lips of those that rose up against me and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down, and they're rising up. I am their music. Render them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them a solid heart, thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. And then he talks about what happened in chapter number 4 as he gets into how that one time they were a great value and a great price. That is the people of Israel. How has the gold become dim? How has the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary poured out in the top of every street have become as null as enough. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how they're esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter. So they've become as just something that's ordinary, not of any value whatsoever. At one time were esteemed to be of great value. They were chosen to be, of course, a peculiar people, and God's hand was on them, and His light shined on them, and they were to glorify, but instead they lost their glory, they lost their shine, become dim, and they were overtaken to become just like anybody else. They were as like a potter over clay, just the best vessels of clay, and they had no great value. Even the sea monster throw out the breast. They give some to the young ones. Now, sea monsters are whales. They are mammals, and they feed from the breast their young ones. He said, the dog of my people has become cruel, like the oysters in the wilderness. Evidently, the oyster turns its back on its young ones and neglects the watching over the feeding of their young ones. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the root of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man breaketh it unto them. Yet they're starving to death. They that feed eloquently are desolate in the street. They that brought up a scarlet embraced dunghill. So one time they fed just an abundance, had all that they needed, and had the best that it was to eat. But now, you said they're embracing. They were brought up in scarlet, but now they're embracing dunghills, just a place of waste, of null, of nothing. They have nothing to eat. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom. It was overthrown as in a moment, and no hand stayed on her. He said that they had a punishment that would come quick and swift upon them. They weren't lingering around or continue to hang around, to stay around, and to die out in, of course, in a slow process of starvation and other things, affliction that happened on them. They would have been better off of being overthrown in a moment. Now, her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was of sapphire. He said, at one time, they were like all these things of great splendor and beauty and great things. But now, he said, they're not. Their vices are blacker than a coal. They are not known in the street. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered. It has become like a stick. He said, they just find a way. They just sort of just die day by day, and in sickness and sorrow and suffering and shame and all these different kinds of things. And in starvation, they were just pining away. They that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger. These pine away, stricken through for want of the fruits of the field, starvation. The hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were their meat in destruction. The daughter of my people, they eat their own young ones. The Lord hath accomplished his fury. He hath poured out his fierce anger, and hath kindled a fire in Zion, and it hath devoured the foundation thereof. The king of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered in the gates of Jerusalem. That they wouldn't have believed this at one time, but now they've entered in and conquered. For the sin of her prophets and the iniquity of her priests, they have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her. They have wandered as blind men in the streets. They have polluted themselves with blood, so that men could not touch their garments. They were so defiled, so wretched, so vile, so wicked, so abominable, so ungodly, that God had to turn His wrath upon them, turn His face from them, and permit these things to happen to them. And now they were suffering mightily because of their great sins. They cried unto them, depart ye, it is unclean, depart ye, depart, depart, test not. When they fled away and wandered, they said among the heathen, they shall no more sojourn there. The anger of the Lord hath divided them, He will no more regard them. They persecuted not the first and the priests, they favored not the elders. As for us, our eyes as yet fail for our vain help, and our watching we have watched for a nation that could not save us. They sought to try to look to others, the Assyrians and Egyptians in time past, as a people that might be able to rescue to help them, but they had no help because their help, of course, come from the Lord. They hunt ourselves, that we cannot go in our streets. Our end is near. Our days are fulfilled, for our end is come. Our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of the heaven. They pursued us upon the mountains. They laid wait for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostrils, the anointing of the Lord, was taken in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow, we shall live among the heathen. And of course, they were carried away into captivity. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, that dwellest in the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass through unto thee. Thou shalt be drunken and shalt make thyself naked. He said, it's coming as well upon thee. That's how we know, as I said, too, that Edom is, of course, the land of Uz, and that's where Job lived in the land. At first, it was called the land of Uz, one of the descendants of the sons of Noah. You can read that over in the book of Genesis if you want to find out exactly which lineage came down through it then. You'll find that, well, that was the inheritance of Edom himself. Esau was Edom, and he took over that land and, of course, became the land of Edom, the Edomites. But at one time, it was the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass through unto thee, that thou shalt be drunken, and shalt make thyself naked. The punishment of thy iniquity is accomplished, O God of Zion. He will no more carry thee away in the captivity. He will visit thy iniquity, O God of Edom. He will discover thy sin. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our heritage is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. He's talking about all the afflicted and suffered, all those that things that happened unto them, how they became tribute as the slaves. And, of course, a lot of them, their peoples had been slaughtered and killed. They were like an orphan without a father. They were like, of course, a mother had become like a widow. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians, the Assyrians, to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not when we have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that does deliver us out of their hand. We gave our bread with the peril of life because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Princes are hanged up by their hand. The face of elders were not honored. But yet they took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. They became slaves and tributaries unto those that had captured and captivated. The elders have ceased from the gate, young men from their musing. The joy of the heart has ceased. Our dance is turned in the morning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. For our heart is faint. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. And thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever, forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days of old, for thou hast utterly rejected us, and thou art very wroth against us. Of course, he is talking about all that was happening to them and had happened to them, a great, of course, time of suffering and sorrow and shame, and a lot of things that you have to maybe read out here and study about things you wouldn't really thought about happened to them during this particular period of time. They were in a time when it said that all the cities of bed was broken up, and of course the elite king and his people and Jeremiah was suffered to have some bread to eat too, but they were some in the city they couldn't supply bread for all, so they resorted to eating their own children. God have mercy, what an awful thing, and they just sort of pined away. They fell down sick. He's talking about how that their skin withered and they looked like a stick. They were just bony and lost weight and everything else. He said it'd been better that they'd have been killed in the battle than to just sort of pine away and suffered and all that. He said it was better. The judgment that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah because it fell quickly than it was upon, of course, Judah there and Jerusalem above the beloved city of God there. And they'd have been better off if they'd been like the under Sodom and Gomorrah. Now this is quite a bit in here, and I'm still not so satisfied with the way that I'm been able to bring it to you, but I give what God's given us all I can. But there's a lot in here that I want to say, and maybe help to define some of these verses that were in here. God gave me some enlightenment over it. If it's meant to be, but later on we'll try to endeavor to do that, God being a helper. But he's speaking to and about, of course, Judah, the land of Judah, the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom had already been taken away into captivity and annihilated and devoured and carried into the Assyrian Empire came down and taken them away and put in, of course, the heathens, the Gentiles of different nations, brought them into the northern portion of Israel, gave them that place for their inheritance there at that particular period of time. So Judah had lingered on. God had suffered to be so, trying to help them to turn them, but they continued on in rebellious, stiff-necked and hard-hearted ways, and then eventually, after the Assyrian Empire began to decrease, the Babylonian Empire began to increase, and then God used him to capture and captivate, to fulfill his will, and to, of course, carry them over and eventually into Babylonian captivity and burn the house of God, destroy the city, leave it in a place of just total rubbish, and, of course, nothing there but just a poor handful of folks there. The poor of the land was left there to keep the land that it might become, not become a desolate wilderness, but they run and rebel. You read mouth of God, and they went down in, of course, into Egypt seeking refuge, and Jeremiah went along with them, and of course the judgment came upon the Egyptians as well, and they became captivated and overtaken themselves and under the hand and the jurisdiction, of course, Nebuchadnezzar, that was part of his kingdom, and he captured Egypt as well during the time of the Babylonian Empire. This was an awful time for Judah, Jerusalem, and they were, as God told them, that they wouldn't be carried over into exile, and Jeremiah prophesied about 70 years of desolation, and that was fulfilled as well concerning those years, and they were brought back and restored, rebuilt the temple, the house of God again, and he also had prophesied concerning the Persian leader, the Persian king himself, Cyrus the Great. Isaiah prophesied about him probably maybe 150 years before the man was ever even thought about, and named him by name, and said he'd restore and rebuild the house of God, which he did in the first year of his reign. That's how we put it in perspective, man. Some of these teachings is what I've read concerning some of these supposed to be scholars and biblical people who are supposed to be highly intelligent concerning all these findings. They don't have it in order just like that. They have it in another order, it's where he come away. But that can't happen. It can't be that. Because in the first year of his reign, he was the first leader that sent them back over there. After that time, you find by studying the Bible, you find out Darius, of course, they talked about him coming on in a later time. His father, King Ahasuerus, who I believe be Artaxerxes, he also came. He was later. He took over the whole kingdom. He was the king of the Medes, and he took over the kingdom after Cyrus the Great did. And his son was sent over into Babylon to take over that. And he killed, of course, Belshazzar, took it over that night. Of course, he reigned and ruled over there. They finished the destruction of the house of God and fulfilled it in the last month of the sixth year of his reign. So they completed that. That was 7 years and about 63 years. That's why I said about 62 years. That's 63 years. The reason it didn't name three, it was 62 and almost 63. They fulfilled 70 years. Jeremiah prophesied concerning the time of the annihilation. Of course, the time of desolation of the people of Israel over in the land of Judah and city of Jerusalem. They talked about that, and of course that was fulfilled. So they've got it different. That's why I said that they go by findings, and a lot of things they found is so. A lot of times it's so, but they put what they don't find, they don't know, they estimate and they guesstimate. They put in a time in there, they sort of think about it, try to put it together. But the book of the Bible here has the truth. God had this recorded right after the things happened. He had a person to write these things down. That's why we have this book, the Bible, the Word of God. You can depend on it because it's infallible and above-grade, pure, perfect, precious, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It does divide the sun, the soul, and spirit, and joint and marrow, and give the discernment of the very secret intent and thought of one's heart. It's in the book, the Bible here, but it's up to you as a Christian, as a born-again believer, to study and to pray that God would give you some enlightenment, some understanding, so you can see some of the things that I'm talking about. And they're recorded in here, and what I spoke to you will be in order because it couldn't be any other way. It works out just perfectly and in order. When you read these different books, they're all, if you read, you look into your study over in the Jeremiah, of course, and Ezekiel was during that particular period of time. And you'll see, of course, Esther was in there, and Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the prophet, the Nehemiah over there, and others too as well, Ezra the scribe. All these particular, there's that particular period of time. All these are in that period of time. If you study them all, look all over them, you'll have a better understanding about what's being said in what particular periods of time these different kings reign and what order they reign. It's in the Bible here, and you can pick it up, and Scott gives you some understanding in these scriptures. Now, I wanted to speak concerning, if it was the Lord's will, I wanted to. I don't mean that I wanted to without His will, but I desire to, because what His will do so this morning, but when it is, we'll go back and I'll have the freedom to speak to you about and discern some of these scriptures, these verses, and relate them to you so you can have an understanding. Not that I know all this, and know I know very little, but I have been blessed to see some things in here, and like certain comments that they made to break them down to where you could understand. That's what the Lord done for me. He gave me understanding. I pondered over it, thought over it, meditated over it, and I read over it again, and come out to me what He was saying. And what I say in the language that we could understand here. Spiritually given, must be spiritually discerned. So we need to, the carnal mind, that's the fleshly mind, it can't discern the things of God. It's fleshly, and it can't discern. It takes a spiritual mind, the mind of Christ, if you're saved in you, God to give you an understanding. And you don't want to to be carnal in your thinking. It is fleshly in your thinking. You want to be spiritual and thinking on things above and not on things beneath, being sober-minded, clear-thinking, vigilant to the enemy. The adversary of the devil is like a roaring lion, walking to and fro seeking whom he may devour. Jeremiah, the Lamentation, chapters, five little chapters, but there's a lot to be said, a lot he did say, and there's a lot of things in there I've never have seen, probably never will see, but a lot of things transpired and took place, and he's speaking about these different things to make a comparison unto things that that you could compare spiritual things with spiritual things and take things that's natural and make a spiritual application, because that's what the Lord is doing. He's using things that we have understand or that we know about to explain spiritual things. So that's how I relate to it. Anybody got a question? Humor, comment, thing in your heart that you like to ask, share. If you do, feel free. Anything special?